Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Greetings, world. It's Piercing the Veil Radio. We're back with another live episode, and this is actually session three, or part three, of Let's Build a Community. And we've got a whole group of people on today, Corey as well as Ross and Apollo are going to be our guests today. And before we really get started into the show, which is going to be a discussion on building an intentional community, or continuation, I should say, before we do that, I want to talk about a few upcoming things that are happening or have just happened as of today. It's a day ahead in France, so it's technically their Monday, and their elections, their first round of elections is starting today, and it's looking like Marine Le Pen is one of the front runners and is going to pretty much win the whole thing, and this lady is just knocking it out of the park with regards to foreign policy and sound domestic policies and non-globalist interventionism, I should say. So it's really big stuff. You guys should definitely check her out. If you don't know who she is, Marine Le Pen is the French National Party candidate for the French election. And she's undergoing a lot of media bias and scrutiny and just outright coercion, but, you know, is standing strong in the face of it. And there's even a debate recently that I watched, and she was saying something about terrorism and how their foreign policy had failed. And right when she was getting to something real poignant, one of her opponents crossed his arms for like 10 seconds, just crossed his arms, maybe less than that, 5 seconds, and then let go as a signal to the host, like, hey, cut her off. And sure enough, within 10 or 15 more seconds, they cut her right off, and they literally couldn't be more transparent. They're like, oh, we'll get to the issue of terrorism later in the debate. So the shit is real. It's coming out. It's being exposed. The people that need to be in positions of power are trying to get in there. The people that shouldn't be are on their fucking way out. And that's the way it should be. And, you know, I'm happy about it. There is a little wonky stuff going on with the Trump thing in the administration. There's some subversion and government coup that's trying to happen. But, you know, this shit happens every day. And they're handling it. And until I see some concrete proof otherwise that he's completely converted and is doing bad things, then, you know, I'll continue to support the one person that might be another JFK or as similar as we could get. You know, obviously he's not trying to shut down the Federal Reserve just yet. But there's a little lesson in current events, the way we see it, piercing the veil. We're just going to jump right into the show now. I'm going to introduce Apollo first. And Apollo is one of my longtime friends and colleagues, and he's doing some really big stuff with regards to sustainable communities, ambassadorship, permaculture, you know, just stewardship of the earth and all around networking. That's really, really good stuff. So I'd like to welcome him on first, and he can just give us a brief intro about who he is, what he's about, and then we'll move on to Ross, who's our other guest, and we'll go from there. Apollo, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Good to hear from you again. Before I do that, I'm going to give a quick shout out to Andrew Chang for hosting me in California right now. Yay, Andrew Chang. But I am trying to accomplish in my life is just to be a walking encyclopedia on regenerative living and practices. And so I'm doing many things to accomplish that and many vehicles that I'm riding in right now. So I'm an ambassador and the director of community networking for Green Fire Eco Ministries. It's a non-denominational eco ministry that focuses on deep ecology, earth stewardship, and eco-village development. So all the perks and the benefits of modern religion today is going to be directed toward the environment and deep ecology through this vehicle that is Green Fire.
And so sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but when you say perks, you're talking about like tax benefits and structural benefits and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Those are the benefits. But one of the most important benefits that I see in this organization, in this new vehicle that I found, is the ability to create an education system and a curriculum to bring up what I would call little earth stewards or earth warriors, the Gaia stewards. You know how the Catholicism, they have their own church that's completely separate from the state. Well, Greenfire has the capacity, not the resources, unfortunately, right now, but the capacity to do this in the future. And that's what I think the biggest perk that we have.
Yeah, I've done some research on them, and we've talked about them before. I know a little bit about what they do, and the way that it appears that they're structured, most people don't understand. You can start a corporation or an LLC that's a spiritual vehicle or device, and if you apply the correct way and you do it the right way, they will give you a tax-exempt number. Also, on that front, you can you don't have to have a spiritual organization even. You can still, there's a way to get a tax-exempt number, and you can pull your life estate or the birth certificate or the straw man, which some people may not know about. You can pull that from the U.S., the hands of the U.S. government, back into your own life estate that you are granted just by your birth, because every man is granted a divine living estate by the nature of their entrance into this reality. And the name goes along with that. That's their trade name, that they're named by their parents. Well, then it gets converted into a registered trademark that's not under their control, which is the all capital letter name that you see on all your government documents. Well, the Greenfire Ministries LLC, or the Greenfire, sorry if I mispronounced that, those guys are doing something similar, but they're taking the spiritual route, which has always been available to religious organizations as far as tax-exempt status. So there is a way they could also put their own personal lives. I know that they might have their own life estate and their belongings inside the church, or belong by the church, or owned by the church, I should say. But they can also put their own personal estate that they were granted into that church if they were willing, or into another EIN structure that's tax exempt. So I just wanted to give a brief snapshot on that. Thank you for that, Apollo. We're going to get back to you. We're going to go do a group discussion. But first, I want to go over to Ross now. Thank you for your patience, Ross. You've been a guest on the show as well before. So if you want to just give us a quick snapshot of who you are, what you're doing, you know, what you can sum up. Obviously, you're a lot more expansive than just a 30-second description, but as is Apollo. But what are you doing? What are your interests and projects, recent things like that? And just go from there.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on the show, Jordan. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Apollo, for being on this show and for doing everything you guys are doing for the collective. My name is Ross, and I'm the current owner of Misty Moon Farms in Argyle, Texas. And we're a commercial organic farm, better than organic farm. And we sell to various restaurants in the Dallas area and co-ops. And my, I guess, vision for it, where I'm taking it in the next few years, would be to expand it. Currently, it has about an acre worth of greenhouse space on a very state-of-the-art greenhouse. It's got swamp coolers and heaters and fans and lights and irrigation. Mm. And it's all very modern, which is a little bit different than the background where I think all three of us have met at the Garden of Eden. And so really incorporating the ideals of sustainability into melding it with modern happening. And so the vision for that would be expanding it to multiple locations and having a permaculture spiritual center. So, you know, a lot of the same stuff that Apollo is promoting with the Greenfire Eco Ministry. And you guys promote on your show, you know, just
right.
living the life.
Well, that's right up our alley, man. It's almost word for word what we're trying to do. Build an intentional community that harvests old school sustainable manual techniques and incorporates them into modern day efficiencies, and you know, marry them in such a way that people still learn with their bodies, they still learn with the earth, they're still married to nature in their work, but at the same time, it's not difficult, it's not stressful, it's not taxing, and it allows them to continue their energetic work as well, as opposed to just doing the physical work of, you know, doing your gardening, building buildings, and so on and so forth. So I look forward to collaborating with you guys in the future, and that's a purpose why I asked both of you on here today, because you're doing your own unique thing, obviously, but they're so similar that I think that we can really draw from your experiences. I mean, Ross, you're more of the solo, how do I fucking start this thing from the ground up by myself? And Apollo's more of, I've, you know, been through all these different communities, I've lived with all these people and shared my space and so on and so forth, and how do I continue to remain my own person while spreading light and love and affecting people in the most positive way I can. So that's sort of what we're going to be discussing now. What we'll do is move into the group discussion. And, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut Corey off. Corey, did you have any questions or any input or comments based on what these guys are describing or anything like that?
Not so far, man. It just sounds like good work. Love to hear more about it.
Yeah. Now, here's a million-dollar question for you. Would you be interested in some way, Corey, in building something out there in Arizona at some point?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Because Ross, I know you talked about expansion, and that's what I'm all about. I'm all about modeling something that's successful on a small scale, that's easy to do, little to no overhead, very, very teachable, easy to educate other people. Find a couple of people you trust, launch that sucker in two different places. If that works, launch it in three different places. If that works, then go up to five. And now you've got like 10, 15 locations or whatever you're doing in the course of, you know, 3 to 5 years. Obviously, we're not naive. We know it takes a lot of work and networking. So,
yeah, that would be a dream.
Excellent. Okay. And Apollo, would you have any interest? I don't know if we didn't catch you on the past couple episodes, but you're somebody we really wanted to talk to about beginning an intentional community, and engineering out the fails from the beginning. What I mean by that is some of the stuff that you may or may not have experienced on your travels in each different community. There might be a common thread of stuff that you've seen there that just isn't really that efficient. And how do we engineer that out? Okay. So, let's go into a discussion. We'll just do an all-around group discussion. You guys feel free to jump in whenever you want. I'm just going to describe briefly what I see as an organizational structure, and then you guys can jump in. I am seeing a Bitcoin-based pay card for the 4, 5, 6 volunteers that actually initially come and do the work that we discussed in our past episodes. So the people that complete their 6-month contract will obviously get their ownership interest and some other benefits. But the ones that are coming just to do like the wolfing and things like that, I think we might give them some sort of cash payment or some sort of cash stipend or something like that. But the original people that will be there, the main founding group that is starting and doing these buildings and signing the 6-month contracts, those guys, I want to pay them with a Bitcoin pay card of some sort and integrate that somehow into an automatic little ATM. You know, they have a Bitcoin ATM you can get for free at your location. They're giving them away because they want to spread it. So there's stuff like that, managing the currency availability to the members of the community without wasting my own time in doing it, having it automated and set up. That's a real big important thing for me, time efficiency. So with that being said, does anybody want to comment or have any suggestions or expand on how people should be compensated for their time? Or maybe a mix or a balance or a range of things that we can compensate certain people for their time, depending on if they're long-term, short-term, so on and so forth. I'll just leave that open for anybody who wants to jump in there.
I definitely feel that that's important to have some level of personal sovereignty within the community. It's great that we're coming together as a collective and doing what we feel is important. However, at the same time, you need to be able to balance yourself. You need to be able to take care of yourself and do what's important to you. I think the founding fathers of the United States certainly were onto this idea and really promoted it. So I don't have any specific ideas on how to do that, giving everyone their own space in terms of land and housing, I think is important, opposed to trying to cram everyone in one space. These are just my beliefs and my feelings on the subject. And I bet Apollo has some really good stuff, though, from experience of living in a bunch of different communities and how what worked and what didn't work for him specifically. I'd be interested to hear that.
Absolutely. And before we get there, I just wanted to follow up with you. Ross, what would you say is your... Like, if you could get paid in Bitcoin only, or if you could get paid in Federal Reserve notes, or if you could get paid in a combo of things... I mean, what do you think as somebody who's coming there, they're already going to be slightly awake or pretty much awake. Otherwise, we won't accept them as far as long-term members. And a lot of what we're talking about is giving balancing your own space with community effort, right? So you hit the nail on the head from our past discussions. But I really wanted to delve into the compensation thing. So is there anything that I know you've done a lot of volunteer work, man, just like we have. So is there anything that you ever wished differently to be compensated for your volunteerism somehow? I mean, anything at all, any ideas? Because we're going to be going back at this and picking all this stuff for reference.
I mean, just the Federal Reserve notes or Bitcoin money is always nice. It's very liquid. And it is the system that we're living in now. So I think that would be great if you ever got donated some piece of land to have, you know, even if it was just leased to you, but to have a space that you were autonomous over that was yours and you didn't have to answer to anybody about why you were doing what on it. You were allowed to experiment for yourself on that piece of land, that piece of area, property, then I think that would be very beneficial.
That's exactly what we're describing. We want everybody who completes their 6-month volunteer work contract or whatever, they would accrue credits and time and value, and they would have a small portion of land to do their thing. So yeah, let's jump over to Apollo on this. Apollo, the original question was, I'm thinking about compensating the long-term members with Bitcoin and maybe a collaboration or combination of other methods. Is there any type of offering or exchange or love exchange that obviously, you know, we're not talking about sex for money or anything, but, you know, energy exchange,
hey,
you know, services.
Acceptable.
Well, it is, but, you know, that's a fringe issue. So anything that you have noticed that is traded as currency, I should ask, because you've been to all the different communities, maybe highlight a few highlights of what the things that you thought were pretty cool. I mean, even if maybe they're all using Federal Reserve notes or they're just using labor for woofer exchange and stuff like that. What are your ideas on this? And then we'll get to Corey.
Right on. Yeah. I believe this is totally needs to be focused on alternative currencies, absolutely, for sure. And I really want to reiterate on the importance of Bitcoin and being that it's not, you know, controlled by, you know, a higher governing, you know, hierarchy, like from a government. So I really like the Bitcoin concept, even though it fluctuates from time to time. Bitcoin's an awesome concept and platform. But I've seen many other things. I've seen people trade food. I've seen people trade herbs and medicine. I've seen people just trade time. And even in the whole time banking, platform, it's a very, very interesting concept of trading for each other's time, because that means that everybody has inherent value. And then there's a little checks and balances for the actual worth of, you know, a doctor's time versus like a laborer's time. But, you know, it really works in a lot of good ways. So I really want to see these communities have their own currency, their own alternative currency, so they can be more self-reliant and self-contained. And as soon as we can be more self-reliant and self-contained and have that balance of power with more people coming in, I believe the better. And so alternative currencies all the way. I really like the whole concept of like having a little trial for new members coming on in, and then having them reimbursed or have them reciprocate something, some form of something, whether it be food or land, like you said, or that Bitcoin. I'm really interested in the whole Bitcoin concept and intentional community. I really think that has a lot of room for growth, for sure.
Yeah. And I like what you said. You described it perfectly, the essence of the subtext or the subtopics that Corey and I are going to get into when it comes to paying these people is time banking. There's we want to mix smart contracts, which is basically Bitcoin or, alternative currency contracts using the blockchain platforms. They basically are unbreakable, unmodifiable by anybody other than the parties who have the authority to do so. It's a true and correct, factual, unchangeable record. Nobody can go in and hack it. You either did your duties for the day and checked, marked the box, or, you know, one of the supervisors or somebody witnessed that you did your duties for you, right? And if we go back and check the blockchain on a monthly review and it turns out that this item, this, you know, building the shed wasn't done, but it shows that you got time bank credits on your personal account for building the shed and somebody witnessed it, well, not only are you in trouble, but the other person's in trouble. And it's not like, oh, you're in trouble, you got to leave. It's like, hey, what's going on? Why did you do this? You know, here's a shitty project that nobody wants to do. You can either get an infraction and, you know, and get closer to losing your ability to have your own piece of property on this land, at the end of your 6-month contract, or you can go do this and we'll wipe out your infraction, right? So like a positive reverse reward, if you will, something that benefits us. And so managing these people's accounts with a smart contract is something really big I want to be able to do. And then what I heard you say also is the, what did you say? Adjusting for the type of labor done. If you're saving the community's ass from a government intrusion, it's a lot more valuable in the moment than picking the morning's greens or something like that. So there's going to be a value of time credit assigned to any given project. And there'll be a few managers or people who are authorized to put into a central database or location available projects for these people to complete. So it's all going to be like Ross said in the beginning, merging, you know, the old school thing of, okay, let's do the community chalkboard. Here's your duties, you know, John, and here's your duties, Roger, and here's your blah, 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 and check them off when they're done, and we'll operate on the honor system. You know, none of that shit. It's like, this is what you've signed up for. This is what you've picked out of the central pool. You have this time to do it. This is the duration. You have this much time to ask for an extension. If you don't, then you waived it. And this is all rules that are like logic that's done on the computer. So it's unchangeable. And then you either, you know, there's a review, somebody reviews it, and it was either completed or it wasn't. And so that is the marrying of the efficiency and the auto management, if you will, of people. The auto management of people without the authoritarian or the totalitarian control that comes along with it normally in the real world. So time banking. Thank you for that, Apollo. And Ross, thank you for reiterating the personal space issue, because that's a big thing that, you know, I don't really have a lot of personal space where I'm at right now for the past 3 years. So that's something that's real near and dear in my heart, is having our own space. And I think that's important to come together as a community. You have to be able to come from your own solace, from your own drive, from your own intent. And when you're around people constantly, that intent and that drive can get muddied or weakened or dissolved. And so having that recuperation time is super, super important.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Corey and jump over to Corey. Based on what we've said, is there anything you want to add, or what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on where you're at in development, for example. Obviously, Federal Reserve notes are going to be the most useful, most valuable things when you're getting started in the community as far as acquiring material and tools and infrastructure stuff. Again, in terms of, you know, we've discussed ways of discharging debt. So if you get yourself set up right and you have an entity that establishes credit within the system, then, you know, you're credit worthy. You can get things on credit and then you can discharge them. So Federal Reserve notes, it's liquid, it's there, everyone sees it as money, it's got a lot of value, probably good to have it on hand. The crypto stuff is good. Bitcoin is the big dog out there, but there are hundreds of different currencies that are coming online, and they're great for privacy, of course. They're also great in a way for accurate transactions, like through the blockchain, like you're saying, smart contracts, being able to keep tabs on transactions. There's also, in this time, there's also a very good speculative element. We got a lot of new currencies coming online. We have people who we're in contact with, we probably have a pretty good handle on what new entries into the market are actually offering something, solving a problem, have some longevity, and so forth. There's an extreme amount of possibility for hugely multiplying the value of your work and efforts. You know, you buy some of these cryptos with Federal Reserve notes, and your purchasing power can grow extremely extremely fast in a very short period of time. So that's also beneficial. That's also beneficial to a community that's starting off small and, trying to develop into something that requires, inputs, cost inputs above and beyond people's energy and time and so forth.
That's right. And people also, Corey, I want to say something real quick. People also like, if they're being paid, that's fine, right? But they also like to be making money on investments. So just the very nature of them being paid in Bitcoin is investment in itself. Yes, it does fluctuate. But then I heard you mention all these other coins. So there's nothing precluding anybody from investing on their own time, doing their own thing on their own time, other than the fact that you're either there to to do your stuff or you're not. So like, if you want to invest and do all this stuff and blah blah blah, well, we're going to infract you if you miss your duties that you signed up for, right?
Right.
And then do it again, and then okay, see you, bye bye, you're gone, have a good day, and you keep all your value. You keep your you convert all your money, you convert it all out and take your cash or whatever you want to do, and you're gone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me personally, part of what the idea that I'm formulating for an intentional community that I would like to be part of or create or manage would definitely be, there would be some, aside from all of the other, physical requirements and managerial requirements and technical requirements, I'd be leaning into financial literacy. I'd be leaning into, how do you grow your assets? I mean, you have only so much time and energy to focus on, so you're focusing on the project at hand, but in what ways may perhaps in your own time or, as you're saying, through compensating the members of the group, input that possibility in. But like you say, you can't do everything.
Well, that's what exactly. So that's the big thing I'm trying to avoid, Corey, is the having to do everything, having to manage, having to micromanage. Nobody likes to be micromanaged. Nobody likes to have to micromanage. So we got to nip that shit in the bud. And I think having governing people with the smart electronic databases in the contract, the smart contracts that are on the blockchain, they can't be, you can't fake them. They're either done or they're not. They're performed or they're not.
Right.
That's a real big thing. And then also, if people want to, like you said, if they want to study their financial freedom, great, study it. But perhaps at some point, a month in, if you need, or let's say you get an infraction because you're dropping down on your duties, well, then exchange those duties with somebody else, make a deal with us to start teaching workshops in the little community center that we built on the property, teach people from the local community, not just our little intentional community, but teach people how to be self-sufficient. And because you're leading that workshop and putting that energy into it, we'll give you, like 20% or 30% of what you take in. We take the rest, and that goes out to the stipends of the other people in the community. So by you doing what you love and following your passion on your own time, even if it starts to detriment you, it still doesn't detriment the community because we'll come in and flip it and turn it into a positive thing.
Right.
So it's all about utilizing and not wasting the time of the person who's not doing what they should be and the person who's trying to have to, or who's having to try and clean up after that person. So engineering that out from the beginning, smart contracts, compensating people. I'm just going to recap what I heard you say too. Compensating people or letting them choose from a number of different currencies, not just maybe have a balance or something that all goes on a card for value or some shit, whatever. We'll work that out. And then what Apollo said is having different ratings for the value of the work that's being done for the time bank credits. And then what Ross said is also balancing their time, their personal time, and having a personal area, a little temporary structure for each person who's there while we're building the permanent structures. That's what I envision. Okay. So I want to get Apollo and Ross's input on a few more things there, and then let's move on to like implementation and technologies and actual growing techniques that Ross can tell us about, and some permaculture stuff that Apollo would get into as well. So I'll just pass it off to either one of you guys, Apollo or Ross. Anything you want to add or put in as input?
Go for it, sexy man.
No, actually, y'all are hitting it on the butt. I'm really liking these new concepts that you're developing, Jordan, with these whole blockchains. evaluating systems and stuff. It's really it's cutting edge stuff, and yeah, let's keep on keeping on.
Nice. All right. Well, let me grab you while we have you here on topic. What have you noticed? We're just going to go back to this real quick. What have you noticed as far as social interaction, any type of friction issues or any type of conflicts that you may have noticed? You don't have to give details of names and whatever, but in the communities that you've been to, can you give us a brief overview of the most, like, wow moments? Like, is this really happening? This is totally dysfunctional. I don't want any part of this type deal. And that's what we want to know so we can figure out how to engineer it out from the beginning.
I'm interested in that as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. yeah, man. There's this wonderful study that Diana Leaf Christian has published, and it's 90% of intentional communities that start up, they actually fail. Only 10% actually succeed. And you know why? Building a house is easy, growing a garden is easy, but it's actual the social infrastructure, the invisible infrastructure, is what makes things so hard for intentional community. Humans have a really hard time living together because they don't know how to properly resolve conflict, proper conflict resolution. They don't know how to actively listen or deep listening. They don't know any of these social and communicative skills, and that's what really matters when it comes down to living with people. You have to really look at yourself and really practice these communication skills. And yes, I've seen some really off the wall, just like dysfunctional, like totally like just raunchy situations. And it's because the lack of active listening, which is, you're listening to hear, you're not listening to reply. And a good modality is to, whenever someone gets done talking, you actually repeat back what you understood that they said. And once we're able to do that, it actually changes, the energy's up a little bit. And a lot of dysfunctional, like, situations that I've seen, they had poor conflict resolution. They had no process for dealing with any conflict. And it just escalated and escalated until, everybody's huffing and puffing until one person gets slapped in the face and then calls someone else a bitch, and it just goes crazy. And nobody wants that. And so... So we need to have proper conflict resolution. We need to understand active listening, and these are things that I would definitely like to get in depth even more on the show if we have time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I want to talk about, is those things that you're mentioning, especially on the communication track. I think that's a big thing that is integral throughout the beginning stages of conflict, in the middle stages, and also afterwards. The communication is important at all three of those stages, and I guess you could call some intermediary stages as well in between those. So yeah, I want you to get more into that. I just wanted to give you a brief overview of our conflict resolution program, which is basically a voluntary, people can voluntarily sign up for a mushroom ceremony, and we'll have it as a mushroom church. Hopefully, I got to check the legality. I'm going to send letters to the Attorney General and everybody. Like, I'm not taking any chances. It'd be like, this is what we intend to do. You got this many days to tell me it's unconstitutional, because I don't see any law that says I can't do this. And so basically, if people, hopefully before it gets to knockdown, drag out fights, but if they do fight, then we write them both up for an infraction. They both have the ability to do something that one of the owners or founders or conflict resolution manager will come up with. He can say, hug each other and write a letter of five good qualities of each other and yada, yada, yada. And if that shit's not working, then it's like put on some gloves and duke it out in a controlled fashion. Or, those are your options. You guys can do physical and duke it out, or you can go the emotional route and take some mushroom medicine together and sit down with a tea ceremony and work it out that way. So what do you guys think about that? Just free for all on that topic.
I'll let somebody else go first.
I'm the mushroom ceremony. I'm not sure that that's 100% needed. No doubt that it would most likely work in resolving, shadow parts of yourself and having to look at yourself and perhaps take a little bit more responsibility or not. And we, in the Sweet Medicine Sundance path, the Native American shamanic path that we follow, at the community that I live at, we practice something called the talking stick. And it's a lot like what Apollo said. You have a physical stick and it's passed back and forth between the two people that are conversing, and you only speak when you have the stick, and the other person is to give you their full attention. And once the other person's completed what they're saying and the stick is passed back, you repeat back what you heard. And that's a really big thing for active listening, like Paula was saying. Also making agreements. I mean, we've been tearing this one to shreds, but making agreements is very important, so you're clear on the expectations. And even that, I mean, we're humans. We mess up. So, you know, we don't, there's lots of room for non-clarity in agreement still, even though you think they're really clear and you think that that person really understands and you're both on the same page, and then life happens and you're not. So, yeah, that's about all I have to say. I like the talking stick idea, and I like, consequences or some level of accountability for people who, if you don't hold up your end of whatever deal you're entering into.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I just want to make another secondary point is there would be a range of options. So even if you wanted to be somebody that would be like a volunteer conflict resolution manager or something like that, somebody that comes in, we pay you a little proceeds from our thing out of these people's accounts, you know, because now they've committed three infractions. They can either leave the property or agree to pay for your services or agree to do a mushroom ceremony or agree to do something. You know what I mean? So they would have to get together and do that. And if they don't, if they can't come to some sort of agreement, which in itself forces them to communicate at a certain level, if both of them can't decide on one thing they want to do, well, then they can do the other thing by themselves, and that person can do the other conflict thing by themselves, but they're going to be taxed with a penalty or something like that because they couldn't come to some sort of joint arbitration project or conflict resolution, as opposed to, you know, because conflict resolution can be individually done within each individual party of the conflict, or it can be done together. So there will be a range of options. There will be penalties for not coming to an agreement on which one to do, and there will be rewards for coming together and doing a joint resolution as opposed to the one separately. So these are things that I'm also going to, like you said, I'm knocking it to shreds, but these are things that I will incorporate into the smart contracts. So I don't have to fucking deal with it constantly. We'll just be like, okay, here's your list of options. You know, here's a box that you can mark other and put in your own suggestion, but you've got to convince the other guy to do that. You know, that's the only caveat. So we're open. We're not trying to control anybody, but we're shit sure not trying to, you know, wipe your ass either for you. So what I'm hearing from Apollo, just to wrap up, and we'll get to Corey, see what he has to say on this. What I'm hearing from Apollo is communication, communication, communication. Then what I hear from Ross is that a big engineering thing that they've done, or which is a tradition in Native American cultures as well, is called the talking stick. And that's a method which they use to have good communication, which I presume, Ross, will negate most issues of conflict. Because if everybody's communicating, there's usually not a way that you can't just communicate your way out further of a potential issue. Like, it's only when you stop communicating, there's exceptions, I should say, it's most of the times when you stop communicating that the physical parts and the violence and the resentments and the emotions and so on and so forth just gets out of control. Corey?
There's a level of self-responsibility as well.
That's right.
A level of self-responsibility, you know, taking responsibility for your emotions, for your thoughts. That people are willing to do that up to a certain level, and then it can get kind of weird. I don't know if Apollo's seen that's frequent or whatnot. That's just my experience.
I wanted to go back to him real quick, and we'll get to Corey, but I want to go back to Apollo and ask you, so these communication debacles or incidents that you're describing, I'm sure they've happened at more than one community that you've been to, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, in that moment when you saw it happening, what did you do, or what were your thoughts of what you would do, or how you could stop it, or just what came to mind, and then, you know, what would be your solution?
Well, in my more inexperienced days, in my early days, you know, I would just be there to, you know, be a vibe watcher per se, and I would like see if things were to escalate, and I would just hold space to make sure, you know, everybody was physically safe. But as I grew, I started to try to adopt a more facilitating role. And I try to conduct the conversation in an appropriate and a healthy manner, so both parties can mutually benefit from the experience. And I actually have a conflict resolution a process that I have on me right now that, if we have time, I would like to share.
We got all the time in the world. Can you share that real quick? And then we'll get Corey's thoughts on what you're talking about, and Ross can follow up with anything he wants.
Absolutely. All right. So it is called the meditation and the conflict resolution process. And number one is to create a safe container so the facilitator can guarantee that both parties will not be physically harmed, and they can guarantee some extent of, you know, physical safety. Number two is to get info, get the story, get feelings, but get feelings without assumption. So you can be like, oh, I felt this way whenever I came home and the toaster was on and the oven was turned on, and I felt really bad because it's not sustainable and I don't like it. And not just come in and be like, well, fucking Dan, he just left the damn stove on, and so I'm just flipping out. So without the assumption. That's number two. Okay. Number three is get people to listen. And like Ross was saying, the talking stick, that is the perfect thing to do. Repeat back what they say, the act of listening. Number four is to reframe the info and shifting to position. So in a lot of situations, you find that people are actually coming from the same intent. They're coming from a good
space.
Right. And once we highlight that information, we can then really show those people that are in conflict with each other, you know, you have a lot more in common than you think. Number five is taking responsibility. No matter how minute or small or big the responsibility is, you just have to, like, encourage those people in conflict to take some sort of responsibility. Number six is agreement and going forward. Start making agreements. And then to just move on forward, self-explanatory. And then seven is follow-up. Follow-up on things the next day or the next hour after things heat down a little bit. And then, you know, a little one is also to ask forgiveness from them for anything and also for yourself. And once you're able to do that,
nice.
That whole process, it's really able to mend a lot. And I actually owe this whole process from the workshop that I took yesterday from Ryan Rising at the Regenerative Design Institute in Bolinas, California. So, yeah, it's awesome shit.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I liked a lot of that. The one thing that stood out to me was shifting the frame, because that's what tactical wordsmithing is all about. It's shifting the burden of proof, shifting the accountability, shifting the liability, shifting the presumptions back on the other person, standing up and declaring with clear communication, and resolving the issue generally for all parties' benefits. Typically, you're dealing with outright fucking criminals who are vested with a cloak of immunity from anything that they do in public office, so they generally don't give a fuck what you say or do, up to a certain extent, and that's just been my personal experience. So I would imagine that these types of things, including shifting the frame of perception and the forgiveness and getting people to take even the smallest iota of responsibility over their own emotions and feelings, I think that would actually work. And, you know, I foresee that working in a controlled way. So, you know, we could review that at a later time as well if we need to. But I wanted to see what Corey thinks about all this, and we'll get to Ross.
Yeah, actually, that was great what you just provided. Yeah, it is important to have some kind of governing rules in any community, right? Any group of people, there's governing rules within a family, right? There's governing rules within a church. There's governing rules within a town. There's governing rules within, you know, older tribal structures. So we're not always self-governing. And so oftentimes we need a community governance system. And yeah, absolutely, the basis for that is clear communication. And, you know, we don't always do that. We fall out of it. I think I think what's really important, and we touched on it on the last show, I think a lot of potential conflict can be reduced by the people who are chosen or accepted into the community. And as far as the vetting process, right, what are you looking for, right? If you're the creator of an intentional community, right, you're looking for people with certain skill sets, but mostly you're looking at people with a certain way of being. And there's all kinds of ways that you can create a process whereby you can kind of see where people, how they would react to certain circumstances as you're vetting them. Right? So
yeah. Yeah, you're monitoring. That's literally what I would be doing, Corey, is watching their every little move and eye twitch and everything when they're answering. And then we would do our due diligence. We would do a reverse phone lookup. We do background checks, criminal background, credit history, all that stuff. Why not? Why not?
Right. So a lot of it, yeah, a lot of it's intuitive, right, of course. And, it would be helpful to have maybe three people maybe in a management position, if you will, or multiple people who are doing this review process so that they can share their ideas back and forth on their feelings or impressions about any particular individual who may be coming into or inquiring into being a part of the community. So,
yeah.
A lot of, and again, this goes into advanced planning. The more planning you do in advance, right?
That's the purpose of this show, man.
Yeah, we want to have this done in 5 years, okay? So you got the vision, you work your way back, you know how much time, resources, people, and so forth is required to reach that goal. And likewise on the personnel side, who are we looking for? What are the qualities? And, factor all of that in. So the more time you spend on that, the less time you're likely to have to spend on conflict resolution. Although,
yeah, and it's going to, like, I like what you said.
It's always imperative to create a system of conflict resolution, of governing. That's true.
That's right.
You always have.
I like what you said. I like what you said about what was it? You just said something real profound, which is multiple people doing the management and the interviews and stuff like that.
Sure.
But also multiple people running, like the founder. So it's not just going to be me. I would be giving a founder's credit to whoever else is really committed that would actually be there helping do these types of things. Let's actually jump over into implementation. We talked a lot about currency. We talked a lot about, time banking, trading for value, trading for work. We spoke a little bit about governance, managing people. Conflict resolution is a big thing. We're going to have to come back and do another episode on that. Maybe Apollo can come back with us. But for right now, I want to jump over to Ross. And Ross, I want to ask you some questions. Just based on your current projects that you're doing on the farm, what are the biggest obstacles that you see besides money, obviously finances and equipment? What are the biggest obstacles that you see in starting a small scale operation, either by yourself or with a couple people?
The biggest obstacles, probably getting started, getting the capital. You already mentioned that's not on the table.
What about land quality, pests? I mean, what are you dealing with out there?
Yeah, I do have some aphids, and we got some ladybugs out there, and we have neem oil. I guess something I would comment on is if it's going to be a commercial operation versus a permaculture situation, those are two very different things. I've never heard of a commercial permaculture institute. Apollo's more versed in that than I am. But the realistic idea of growing commercially in a permaculture setting doesn't really seem feasible, because when you're selling to restaurants or you're selling to co-ops, you're selling to CSA or whatever, then you have to be able to provide, a certain amount of pounds mm-hmm. of beets or carrots or apples or whatever it is. And in permaculture, to harvest that, it's not all just a nice, pretty little rose, and you can't just drive down there with the machine and harvest it all. So I would say that's a big obstacle for me personally, is finding the balance of where my ideals meet commercialization and the practicality of that, because not everyone wants to grow their own food. And especially at the time we're at now, I feel that, most people aren't even there. I mean, if maybe
they just
want to
pick something up quickly.
Yeah. But the idea of doing the work to support that is super far out there. So commercialization of growing food is going to be necessary for, you know, I think a long time, hundreds of years, if not thousands and so on. I think that's a real thing. So finding out how to mix the ideals of permaculture and nature with commercialization and holding that integrity is a fun.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting you brought that exact point up, Ross, because I was thinking very heavily about doing the commercial produce hydroponically or aeroponically inside with no chemtrail residue, nothing. It'd be air filtered environment. It'd be a clean, sterile environment. We would be growing Sea of Green style, organic everything, obviously, composting for our reservoirs and so on and so forth, and maybe a little micro voltage as well to keep away pests and to increase yield, and magnetic structuring of the water as well. So these are all things that are easily to magnetically structure water. You just put a bunch of fucking spheres inside of a garden filter and run the water through it. And as it passes over the spheres, it's structured. And then you have a magnet ring at the end where it comes out. And boom, now it's magnetically structured. And guys in Australia are growing literally half-pound strawberries. I shit you not. These are half a pound strawberries. They're as big as your fist or bigger. And they're non-GMO. And they're using magnetic water to do it. So my big thing is for the commercial side, you really brought up a great point. Separating the two, but then combining the two passions back together again in a way that's sustainable and doesn't interfere with each other. I've envisioned an indoor operation in some part of our community that grows these tomatoes and herbs and basils and cut and come again lettuces and all sorts of varieties and the beets and the carrots and the things that these CSAs and small farm to table restaurants that are popping up everywhere and all these people want. Now, as far as permaculture as not only an example, but also a practice that should be followed, then the rest of our land outside could be permacultured. And that would be trees and fruit and orchard and vines and yada, 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 and all these different things that and moringa, things that are able to counteract chemtrail, heavy metal poisoning, and so on and so forth. And so that way we can have the best of both worlds. We can have a showcase for people how to do implementation of permaculture, who people can come and pay workshops for, and that gives a little revenue to the community. And then also people can come to us through the CSA and so on and so forth, because there's a health conscious fad and awareness fad that is sweeping through the food culture. People are starting to wake up about the GMOs. People are starting to wake up about all these other things. And we only got like 30 seconds left and went over a little bit, but I just wanted to make that point that we could really appeal to a niche market and be like, we're the only non-chemtrailed, you know, produce that we're aware of and non-GMO, and here you go. That's our selling point. So I'm sorry for cutting it off so quick, guys. I wanted to talk to you more. We might need to come back on for another show if you're willing. I wanted to thank Corey, as usual, for being on here and giving his counter perspectives and his insights. And definitely, Ross and Apollo, thank each of you in your own special ways for being here. I know you guys have prior commitments, so it's an honor to have you. And all of our listeners, we appreciate you as well. We're just going to go ahead and drop out here, and until next time, pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.